Lord for help. Let me not forget one more person. It's our doctor here, man. Dr. Mo. Where's Dr. Mo? Oh, I want to say thank you to Dr. Mo, man. Yes. Yes. Yeah, chaque soir, l'idée là, l'idée qui t'a fait nous prier et bénédiction pour nous. On dit merci à vous pour passer le mot. On souhaite next time VS s'ouvrir. Ouvrir. But this man was hanging, realizing that he couldn't hang on for long. He called for help. He was a cliffhanger. The man said, "Is anybody up there? Is anybody up there?" And the voice said, "Yes, I'm here." The man said, "Who is that?" The voice said, "The Lord." The man said, "Lord, help me." The voice said, "Do you trust me?" The man said, "Yes, I trust you completely, Lord." The voice said, "Good. Let go of the branch." The man said, "What? Are you out of your mind?" The voice said, "I said, let go of the branch." And the man paused for a long time. And he said, "Is anybody else up there? Is anybody else up there?" Like this dangling cliffhanger, are you ever afraid that God might ask too much of you? Consider for a moment what would be too much. What is causing you not to shift into gear? Qui ça cap cause pour pas ralentir dans la vie spirituelle? What is causing you not to shift into your spiritual walk with God? See, this man right here, he was hanging onto a cliff. He said, "Lord, I trust you completely." God told him, "Hey, I need you to let go of this branch." But the guy said, "Hold up, man. You crazy. I ain't let go of nothing. I trust you, but I'm not going to let go." Sometimes God will put you, in order for you to shift, you need to be uncomfortable. Amen? Young people, amen? In order for you to shift, you need to be uncomfortable. You need to be uncomfortable. There are storms that you will go through that will cause you to sometimes, you got to push through it. You got to get through it. You got to let go and let God do what he got to do in your life. And we may not understand what God is doing in our life, but we have to trust God. That's why we're saying that you need to shift into your education. Your education is very important. Your education is very important. Dr. Ish was just telling me today, and what only 17 kids in the third grade pass the FCAT or FSA. Only 17 kids. 17 kids out of elementary school, third grade. And majority of these kids are black. Majority of these kids are black. And you know, these 17 kids that only pass, they will be successful, but what about the rest? What about the rest? You know what? They already labeled them. They already know what type of people they're gonna be. They're gonna be the ones who goes in and out of jail. They're the ones who's gonna be selling drugs. They're the ones who's gonna be being prostitutes and everything like that. But those 17 kids will be shifting into a higher gear. So which category do you want to be in, young people? Shift into your education. It is very important that you shift into your education. Your mom and your dad did not bring you to school to eat breakfast and lunch. They did not send you to school to get into fights. Only if you went to Kennedy. John F. Kennedy. Vikings. Any Vikings here? All right. You know, you had to stand up for yourself. You know, but man, let me tell you that. Your mom and your parents, par angle, you pas menon pour aller l'école pour gourmet. You pas menon pour aller l'école pour manger breakfast avec lunch. They sent you there to get an education. You know what my mom told me one time? My mom told me one time, and I'll never forget it. My mom told me, "I don't want you to be where I am." I don't want you to live your life like that. I want you to do better. I can gladly say that my brother and my sisters, we all have our college degrees. My brother graduated from college. My sisters graduated from college. I graduated from college because we seen the sacrifice that our mom did for us, single-handedly, by the way. Some of you guys have mom and parents but are still ungrateful. Some of you guys are so ungrateful that you complain about talking about your mom and your dad, they talk too much. The only reason why they talk so much is because they want you to do better. They don't want you to be that thug. They don't want you to be that prisoner. They don't want you to be that prostitute. They want you to do better. So what are you doing? What are you doing to shift into your education? We talked about shifting to worship. Some of you guys, man, y'all come to church. Man, it kills me, man, right? We're predominantly a Haitian church, right? Okay, we're all Haitians here, predominantly a Haitian church. But we know we have a lot of people here that were born in America that speak English only, which is fine. But they may not understand the Creole that much. But guess what? The worship team, they take the opportunity to translate songs into into English. And also we sing songs in English. And your behind just sit there and don't move your mouth at all. Still don't sing. So what does that tell me? That tells me that something ain't right with you. Something is not right with you. We put the songs in Creole. We put the songs in English. We put the songs in French. We put them in Kringlish. Y'all still don't sing them. What is the problem? What is the problem? Here y'all go. Y'all be like this. It don't make no sense whatsoever. Are you shifting or are you drifting? Are you shifting or are you drifting away from God? You see, you're letting the enemy take over. You're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to remain still, and he don't want you to move higher. He wants you to he wants you to drift closer and closer to hell. But God is calling you to shift closer and closer to heaven. But no, when it's time to worship, y'all just don't move your mouth. I bet you if it was some secular music, y'all would be like up in here popping and everything like that. Huh? Y'all would know every secular song out there. But when it comes to some godly songs, y'all don't know jack. So God is requiring you to shift into gear. He is asking us to shift into gear. We talked about shifting to your finance. Shift into your finance, guys. I don't care how young you are. You need to that is very small to teach them how to save. Because guess what? The white parents are doing it. Why are not we doing it? I got kids coming to the bank. I had a kid actually. She was 4 years old. She came into the bank wanting to open like a savings account. I looked at her. I was like, okay, cool. All right, white kid now. So I said, so how much you going to deposit today? I'm thinking she's going to say, $50. That girl bust out with some $100 bills. I'm like, whoa, can you put some in my savings account? Come on, parents. Come on, kids. Young people, you got to learn how to save your money. Don't be spending your money on your cell phone. This is the problem. Let me tell you like it is. Parents, we have made a mistake. You have given your kids a cell phone too early. Buy a team on your cell phone, your 12 bonnet. Your kids can't even wipe their butt, but you're giving them a cell phone. Hello? Your kids can't even wash the dishes, but you're giving them a cell phone. Your kids can't clean their room, but you're giving them a cell phone. Your kids can't even say hello to you, but you're giving them a cell phone. Hello? Pile on you. Hello? But yeah, you're still paying for their cell phone bills. Huh? Your kids disrespecting you. Oh, you're still paying for their cell phone bill. I wish. You know, black people use that word. I wish my son would do that to me. He ain't gonna have no cell phone anymore. That thing will be in pieces. Get your own job and get your own cell phone. But not in my house, though. Wait till you get out of my house, and then you can get your cell phone. In the meantime, use a pay phone, 25 cents. If you could find one. But God is asking us, man, to shift into our finance. We need to learn how to save, young people. Learn how to do simple things, budget. Learn how to save your money. Don't waste your money on clothes. Don't waste your money on the latest style or clothing or anything like that. Save your money. Save your money. I wish I could go back and be like, man, I wish I could go back into my parents' house. While I was working, every paycheck I took, I would just save it and save it and save it and save it. Right? I would save my money. Yeah. Save your money, guys. Save your money. Then we talked about shifting to prayer. Shifting to prayer is very important. It is very important that we act, that we pray, that we pray with faith and believing that God will provide for us. We pray that God will hear our prayers. Sister Ruth talked about it, that we need to have a shift in our prayer. The problem with our prayers is that they're too general. They are too general. We act like we can't tell God something. We act like we cannot be specific with God. That's why we say, Lord, we want to say thank you for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us and being a shield around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, talk about the stuff that you did. Talk about when you cussed out that lady or that man this morning. Hello? Talk about that. Ask the Lord to forgive you about that. Your prayers need to stop being general. They need to start being specific. So we need to shift into prayer. We need to shift into prayer. And finally, we talked about shift into reaching others. Shift into reaching others inside and out. Brother Mundo and Sister Christine, man, they talked about this. How you guys, some of you guys are in high school. And some of you guys are in college or middle school. You have the opportunity to spread the gospel wherever you go. You have the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to share what you have. You know, there are a lot of lost people out there in the world. There's work that needs to be done in the field. It is our responsibility to go out there and reach out to others inside and outside. Inside and outside, we need to reach out to them. We need to reach out to those who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stop being selfish with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. We need to do that, young people. You know, it's crazy, right? Saturday, we went out to do evangelism. We went out to do evangelism. Guess how many people came? Y'all want to guess? Two. There's only three of us. My wife would have came, but it was just only three of us. And when I look how many people is in the choir, I'm like, why didn't y'all come? There's something wrong. You got about 30, 40 people in the choir. But when it's time to go out there and reach out to someone, talk to someone about Jesus Christ, you only got three people. It was only myself, Jude, and Jalene. But you know what? We had a great time, right? Right, Brother Jude? Yeah. We had a great time. We drove around the community. We prayed in the community. Then after that, we went downtown West Palm Beach. Went downtown West Palm Beach to a spot where I know. And we bought a dozen donuts. About a dozen donuts, and we like, hey, this is the spot where we're going to talk to people about Jesus Christ. We went out there, bought some dozen donuts. I told them, hey, just follow my lead. Seen some guys sitting on the table. I just went over there. I was just, hey, guys, how y'all doing? Sat down with them, and we just started talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of them was a Muslim. Another one, he said he's a Baptist. I said, you're a Christian, right? No, I'm a Baptist. I'm like, okay, whatever floats your boat. Baptist, okay. You're a Christian, right? You believe in Christ? Yes. So that means you're a Christian, right? I guess you can say that, but I'm a Baptist. Okay. All right. But we encountered these two guys, man. Two guys that were just sitting there, and I brought the donut. We brought the donuts to them because you got to find a way to attract these people somehow, some way. You know, one, the Muslim guy, he was a Muslim. He's like, oh, man, I already know what you're going to be talking about. You're going to be talking about religion. I said, who said I was going to talk to you about religion? I'm just here to feed you. I'm just here to feed you. I said, have a donut. I said, we said, have a donut. And he just started talking. He started opening up. Although he had like four cans of beers, just sipping on them, drinking on them, and everything like that. But he was talking about his faith and Allah and so on like that. And I was like, okay. He said the Bible has a lot of contradictions and everything like that. And I was ready to go pasta mono mode on him, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I held back. I was like, you know, I'm not here to do apologetics with you, so I held back. I was like, I'm here to share the faith, to share the good news to you. And every time he was just talking about Allah and everything like that and so on, and the other guy was like, you know, can I have another donut? You know, sure, have another donut, man. But we know what? What's so beautiful about it, right? What's so beautiful about it? After we talked, we did not debate or anything like that. I shared with them. I told them, man, you know what? When it comes to judgment day, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be judged. You know that? The Bible tells us that, therefore, that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's all I told him. And then we began. I said, fellas, well, my time is up here. Our time is up here. And the guy said, man, you have a card on you? The Muslim guy said, you got a card on you? I said, yeah, man. Here you go. I said, man, I like your approach. You didn't try to debate with me. You didn't try to fight with me. You didn't try to defend or anything like that. Man, you presented me the gospel, man. You presented the gospel. And then what's the craziest thing is he's a Muslim, right? I said, hey, guys, before we end, I would like to pray for y'all. And he said, sure, let's pray. And guess what? What Muslim do you think going to let you pray for them? He bowed his head. The Baptist bowed his head. And the Muslim bowed his head. And we prayed for them. And I ended that prayer and I said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Then after that, we moved on to the next person, a lady. It's a crazy story, man. Young lady, her name is Melissa. Melissa, homeless, just came from South Carolina. Eight kids. I think 17 or 21 or something like that. Yeah, 24 and 17. And the youngest ones are like, what? 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Eight kids. I said, you know, we started talking to her. And, she know I was going to approach her. I looked at her. I said, hey, you know I'm coming after you, right? And she just started laughing. She's like, yeah, I know. I know you're coming. So we sat down with her. And I said, you know, she shared her story. Eight kids. She haven't seen her kids, her youngest kids, since December. They've been taken away from her. She says she missed her kids dearly. She missed her kids. And as she is talking and sharing her testimony, you could hear the pain in her. You could hear that. You could hear her. You could just sense the pain that she's going through. You could sense that. I said, you know what? I hear her testimony. I said, you know what? Can I encourage you to continue to fight? I want to encourage you to fight. I want you to encourage you to continue to push, continue to pray. I don't know what, you know, I told her, God makes us go through storms that we don't understand why we go through them. But once you get through this storm, you give God the glory. And as we were just talking, she was just sharing her testimony and hearing her, and it just really touched my heart. It just shows me how many people are hurting out in the streets. How many people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, we're so selfish with the gospel, man. We are selfish with the gospel. We are very selfish with the gospel. A lady with 8 kids, she haven't seen her kids since December. She cannot go see her kids. She has to go through courts and everything like that to try to go see her kids. She ain't got no money because she's homeless. We fed her. We fed her. And God blessed us. We were able to give her some money to be like, hey, man, you know what? We're praying for you, Melissa. And right there and then, we prayed for her. And at the end, we said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Then we had some other people as well, too, that we approached. I had one lady. I said, hey, you want a donut? What for? What do you mean, what for? What you trying to give? There's something in return? I'm like, no. I just want to give you a donut. That's all. I said, man, God bless you. I said, God loves you. She was like, yeah, right. Yeah. So I proceeded to talk to her. And we proceeded to continue to talk, continue to feed some other people. There was some other guy. He was just rolling up some blunt, whatever it was, or some weed, whatever he was doing. He was just rolling it up. I said, you want a donut? He was like, sure. My brother, bless you. You may not remember what I'm going to say to you, but God loves you. But, man, this is what it's all about, man. This is what it's all about. We shift into gear. I'm not going to have time, but Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, just one verse. Verse 9, God told Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you wherever you go. Joshua had a mission. Moses passed away. Joshua was Moses' assistant. Moses passed away. So Joshua had to take the lead. God told Joshua, hey, man, I need you now. You've been trained, and I need you to take on the task that Moses could not finish. I need you to be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Whenever you are shifting into gears, God is with you. You don't need to be scared. You don't need to be afraid, young people. You don't need to be afraid of the plans of the enemy because God is with you. Have I not commanded you, he said, to be strong and courageous? So when you are worshiping the Lord, you need to be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you do not be frightened and do not be dismayed? For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. When you are shifting into your education, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? When you're taking that test, you will pass it. Amen. When you're trying to get that college degree, you will get that top college degree. Amen. When you're trying to get that doctorate degree, you will get it. Amen. It may be a struggle, but you're going to get it. Amen. When God is asking you to shift into your finances, when he's asking you to get a go out there and do, if he's telling you to go out there to do a certain job, God is telling you, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be scared, for I am with you. Go, for I am with you. When God is asking you to shift into reaching others inside the church and outside the church, God is telling us, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, your God, is with you wherever you go. I go to the prisons every other week. I mean, my first time going to the prison, I was scared. Now I go there, it's like a second, I wouldn't say a second home, but it's like, you know, I'm comfortable going there now. The guys, they know me. They know us when we go there. They're comfortable with us. They trust us. I was scared at first. But I'm reminded by this verse, God said, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? When God is calling you to move, you need to move. God does not ask, God commands. Amen? God, bonje pa mande, li commande. God does not ask, he commands. When he tells you to move, you need to move. When he's asking you to go to a higher level, guess what? You need to move to a higher level. Have I not commanded you? This is an exciting time in church history. God is calling his church to arise, to do battle, and to march forward victoriously. We are in a battle as Christians. We are in a battle in this world. What's going on in this world should wake you up as Christians to continue to shift higher and to shift higher into God's presence. There needs to be an increase in your life. There needs to be a shift in your life. There is something that you're holding on that you need to let go of. God is telling you that tonight. There are things that are keeping you from moving forward. You need to let go of it. Have I not commanded you to move forward? Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? You see, it's so wonderful to see in Genesis, we see God choosing men. In Exodus, we see God redeeming men. In Leviticus, we see God calling men. And in Numbers, we see God speaking to men. In Deuteronomy, we see God commanding men. And in Joshua, we see God conquering through men. You are conquerors. We are conquerors. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We need to shift. We need to shift, young people. Don't be afraid to move forward. Don't be afraid to move forward. You know, it kills me when we come to, when we do Bible study. When we do Bible study, these kids, some of these young people, let me tell y'all this, parents. Some of y'all kids, they come to Bible study with no Bible, with nothing to write with. But when they go to school, they have something to write with. They have a book to read and everything like that. But when they come to Bible study, they come with nothing. Train up a child the way he should go. Please, please. If you want your child, subezen pititu, you want your child to be successful, make sure they come prepared. Make sure they are growing. I got a perfect example here, man. I got Brother Snyder here. Snyder, stand up, brother. Man, this man, he takes his Bible study seriously. He takes it serious. He takes it seriously. And I see that it's not because of him, but it's because of his parents. His parents are doing the right thing. And a lot of y'all parents are doing the right thing as well, too, by bringing your kids to Bible study. When your kids can say, prove to me that Jesus Christ is in the beginning, they're able to say that. We're not in there talking about other stuff. We're training them. We're training them to be strong and courageous. We're training them to be ready for when the battle comes. Like Dr. Ish talks about Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to be ready, armed and ready. Armed and ready. Your kids need to be ready. See, one day you will pass away. If you don't leave nothing behind for your kids, it is your fault. If you don't leave nothing behind for your kids, if you don't leave them with the gospel, then you have failed as a parent. If your kid is not here today, there's something wrong. Some of them may be working, I understand that. Some of them may be in school. But your kids, they need to be here. Your kids need to be here. They need to come to Bible study. They need to come to prayer. They need to come. So that way they can be equipped and be ready for the battle that's to come. So let's bow our heads. Father, we want to say thank you. Nous merci Seigneur pour grâce pour miséricorde. Again, Lord, ton cou, c'est Alpha et Omega. Le commencement et la fin. We want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And I ask, Father, that you'll help us, oh God, to shift into gear. Lord, this is not the end, Heavenly Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that we will encounter schemes of the enemy, Lord. And I pray, Father, for every young person here in this audience. And I pray, Father, that you will lead them, Heavenly Father, and direct them, Lord. Father, help us, oh God, to continue to shift into gear. We worship you. We magnify your name. And we give you all the glory, honor, that you alone deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Mono to come up front to give prayer and benediction.
How do you feel tonight? Nous voulons remercier tous les parents qui ont fait effort et qui continue à faire effort pour capable orienter timon nou yo, pour capable diriger yo, pour capable assister yo. À quelques parents qui peut-être capable faire signe de négligence ou qui capable présenter quelques désintéressement, nous voulons encourager yo. Nous pas chom pas dit ou. Si ou gado ou en a fait bon Dieu, ou pas gen encouragement, ou besoin prier, parce que Satan t'en piège pour ou. Ou met pas dit amen, zam de la vérité. Ce piège, Satan t'en pour ou, ak toute famille ou. Est-ce que nous jamais réaliser plan Satan, c'est de tout le monde dans mes noms? c'est plan Satan. I just want to let you know that it is our responsibility to stand up for our kids, for our families, to teach our kids, to guide them. I know sometimes you face some tough times with them because some of them are, you know, I mean, they're hard-headed. I know that. Some of them are too tough for you. But when they are tough, you need to be tougher. Don't give up. Don't give up.